Hi everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobber and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration. The purpose of my company is to help business software companies rethink what can be to become remarkable again. The goal that I have with this podcast is to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. So my strong belief is that we can think big, and therefore we should. And doing so will help to create a better world for all of us. And this podcast is all about that. A guest on my podcast this week is Ray Blackwood, Vice President of Product Management at Campus Management Corp.
It's hard for students to choose the right thing, or we have to have so much advisement to coach the students that it can be overwhelming. I wanted to know what I was going to learn in a class more than what classes I needed to take. How cool would it be if I was a student and I was sitting there and I just wasn't being told what to take because I needed a certain number of credits, but I could actually see what skills am I going to learn and what careers could I be interested in while I'm in school and be thinking about that? Technology is changing so rapidly that what you're going to learn in the classroom your freshman year might even be irrelevant by the time you graduate. So the skill that technologists need to learn is not the technology itself, but it's how to learn. It's how to solve problems and how to think.
This is Ray. He's a Vice President of Product Management at Campus Management Corp. Ray is a futurist who is passionate about technology, business intelligence, and leadership. He's particularly passionate about solving problems in higher education through technology. And as he puts it on LinkedIn, I invent solutions that run colleges. Ray received his undergraduate degrees from the University of Advancing Technology in Multimedia and Digital Animation and Production, and his Master in Business Administration and Technology Management from the University of Phoenix. In my hunt for compelling stories about the value we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way, I stumbled upon Campus Management's new product, Occupation Insight. The product has an interesting promise: how institutions can better align academic programs and student skills with industry needs. And this triggered me, hence I invited Ray to my podcast. We explore the big changes in the education space, where the focus is now shifting from graduation to employability as the ultimate outcome. We discuss how technology can play a meaningful role to help students stay on the optimal path to achieve their aspirations in a world where teachers are becoming the scarce resource. By listening to this interview, you will learn three things. Firstly, why the challenge is not to solve the problem at hand, but to prevent it altogether. Secondly, how you can create larger impact and circumvent scarcity by changing behavior. And one thing to do that is to inspire curiosity. And thirdly, what mindset you should create as a business software vendor to transform and accelerate your success. To get the podcast started, can you introduce yourself, tell a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and what is your role at Campus Management?
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, my name is Raymond Todd Blackwood. I'm the Vice President of Product Management at Campus Management Corp, headquartered out of Boca Raton, Florida. I've spent about 22 years in higher education. I started my career at a small private college in Tempe, Arizona, called the University of Advancing Technology. It's a small private school for geeks, where we focused on learning how to learn and using technology to solve problems. And it was there that I started working at the college as a freshman and became very close friends with the founder's family. And through that, I was able to have a remarkable journey where I got to work in virtually every department at my college, as well as have a large group of mentors of college founders and presidents that helped guide me through my career. And it was through that that I was able to take this opportunity at Campus Management to help lots of colleges become more innovative and use our products and services to run their universities.
Interesting journey. So you've been at Campus Management for how long?
Was it already? I started with Campus Management in 2011, so almost 8 years.
Yeah, and since these 8 years, I mean, I come from a company that has been in student management systems as well. A lot of things have changed. So what I saw recently is that you did a couple of pretty interesting announcements that were spot on for what I try to achieve with my podcast, which is about helping people around the world augment them with technology for them to do a better job or create a better outcome of what they try to achieve. So can you quickly go through the announcements that you've made as a company?
Sure. Well, I think the first one that I'm really excited about is a product that we just released called Occupation Insight. Occupation Insight came from an idea that we had where, you know, we build like a degree progress audit and online registration and these tools that help students make choices on what classes they take while they're in college. And we got a lot of feedback, like, you know, it's hard for students to choose the right thing, or we have to have so much advisement to coach the student. And the reality is, I used to work in education. I know what it's like to go through the catalog process and have all these faculty members, you know, come up with all these ideas and courses and catalogs and programs. And it can be overwhelming for a 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old student with so many choices to take. And really, for me, I wanted to know what I was going to learn in a class more than what classes I needed to take. And so we had this opportunity to meet with this company called Burning Glass. And Burning Glass is pretty much a big data company that goes and they mine all of the different job postings that are happening in the U.S. And through this data set that they curate, you can start to see, you know, what's the national average of salary? What's the experience needed for a job? How are jobs related to zip codes and the stock codes, which was a big deal with the whole gainful employment movement that happened over the last 5 years. And for me, I thought, I was like, well, man, how cool would it be if I was a student and I was sitting there and I just wasn't being told what to take because I needed a certain number of credits, but I could actually see what skills am I going to learn and what careers could I be interested in while I'm in school and be thinking about that? Because I've always come from the background that if you have a positive mental image of your future, then it's always easier to get through the challenges of today. Because I'm always looking forward to what this challenge that I'm going through, like going to class, doing my homework, sitting through this lecture, like this challenge that I'm faced with today is going to help me be where I want to be or who I want to become tomorrow. And if I can provide tools to students that are already seamless into what they're doing in their portal or interacting with the institution, and I can give them this additional information to make better choices, that really excited me a lot. And so we worked with Burning Glass, and what we ended up doing was we took their data and we transformed it into a higher ed data model. And we're able to synchronize this with the school's zip codes or the programs that they're offering so that we're only showing students at that institution the opportunities that the programs that that school can give them and what skills they can learn and things they can do to become more successful and more prepared when they graduate. And that's playing into a lot of different areas. That feeds into some of the artificial intelligence work that we're doing with the creation of an artificial intelligence digital assistant for higher ed named Renee. And it's also playing into how we see the future of institutions being able to engage with students through our Campus Nexus Engage platform, which comes out early next year.
Wow, interesting. So is that the product you talked about, Occupation Insight, is that only at the start of when students are looking for a university to start on, or is it also during that period?
Right, great question. So with our very first release, basically the way that we're delivering this is we're delivering highly interactive visualizations that can be embedded into portals at the university. Uh-huh. And so we've got a roadmap set up to give different type of use cases for those visualizations. The first one that we just released just 2 months ago is for current students. Right. So it's for students who are already enrolled at an institution, who are enrolled in a program, who can start from there and see what their opportunities are while they're in school. Our next visualization, which is scheduled to come out in September, is going to be designed to help students pick the right program at an institution based off of their interests and desires and motivations. Right. Mm-hmm. Because what we see as a challenge, especially in the community colleges here in the U.S., is that a lot of students are having to go to community college before they move on to the four-year state school or four-year university program. And that's great because it offers affordability, it offers a pathway, it's an iterative journey to success. But unfortunately, some students pick the wrong programs in the community college. And so when they transfer, they still have to do extra work to find the right classes to be accepted into the programs that they want based off of the career that they want to have. So we want to close that gap earlier in the admissions funnel. And then after that, we're going to have a series of visualizations that cover things like who are the employers and drilling into the type of companies that are hiring and the culture of the company and where they're located regionally. And then finally, we'll do things to help administrators build programs that meet the demand in their local area.
Yeah, and this is essential. I'm not sure who I was talking to recently, but a quote came up. I think it was some piece of research that children that are now going to kindergarten will, 65% of them will end up in a job that doesn't exist yet. So
yeah,
this is changing so rapidly that even during your period at a university, it could be that the requirements, the skills, the whole industry you want to be part of is transforming in front of your eyes. And if you don't know about it, you're too late when you come out.
Well, that, you know, I spoke briefly about it earlier, but when I went to the University of Advancing Technology in the 90s, that's what the president understood, is that technology is changing so rapidly that what you're going to learn in the classroom your freshman year might even be irrelevant by the time you graduate. So the skill that technologists need to learn is not the technology itself, but it's how to learn. It's how to solve problems and how to think. And if you can be taught and trained on how to think and how to learn and how technology helps improve the process, then you can go on forever and be successful instead of just being a specialist in a database technology or a web technology or something like that.
Completely agree. Yeah, and I mean, there's another trend, of course, that's also happening, is that there are too little, well, the number of teachers available is too little to manage every student individually. And that's where you get dropouts. There's too many things going on. And here with this type of technology, you can take that pressure away and you can allow the human touch of it to be far more effective as well.
Right. As we're building these products for students, one of the things that we're very conscious of is how do we build user interfaces or how do we bring data to the students that inspires curiosity? And that's one of the things that we think is really important right now, because like you said, there's not enough teachers that are out there. And so how do I give nudges or information or put a student into a communication plan that sort of asks them questions or nudges them to be curious and follow up down an information trail that may inspire them or have them interested in new ideas or spend time learning about stuff on the net, even while they're in school, instead of just being told, you have to read this chapter and take this assignment and do this learning assessment. Right? It's all about fostering that curiosity of people while you have the chance.
And is that the purpose of the bot? I mean, you're talking about a bot called Renee. Is the bot going to be used in that particular way?
Absolutely. Both the way that we're visualizing the data and occupation insight is designed to inspire curiosity around areas that you could be employed in. But Renee specifically is going to have access to information from multiple data sets about a user, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to be the courses and the programs and the billing methods and all that stuff that takes place in the student information system, but also in the engagement platform, who the person is, you know, what are their surveys that they're answering? What are the communications that they've responded to? Do they respond to text message? Do they respond to email? What is the sentiment of the person that's chatting with the bot, right? We can tell based off of the tone, the speed, the misspellings, all of these different things plug into a sentiment engine to also get information about that student. So we can do these nudges. We're partnering with this company called Discourse Analytics that's helping us take the signals from what students are doing, building a mindset profile. And from the mindset profile, we can then say, okay, people that are like this respond to these kind of messages. And we can then, like I said, drop them in the communication plan, nudge them into going to different websites to learning things. And Renee will constantly be learning about this. The digital assistant Renee will be constantly learning about all of its interactions to help do exactly what you're talking about. Nudge people to click on things that'll inspire curiosity.
Yeah. And that's going to be scalable and it's going to be play a big role for any type of age as well. Because also for continued education, I would say it's going to be very, very helpful. Pretty inspiring. So you were talking about three products. So the one end side we've been talking about right now is the student side and to help students to make the right choices, to be sure that at the end of the road, the student is employable rather than just having a grade without a job. So where does the Engage platform come in? How is that going to, to make the impact even bigger?
Right. So the beautiful thing about the Engage platform is that it's built off top of the Microsoft Business Applications Development Platform.
Yeah.
So from the core, it'll understand the identity of the people that you're interacting with, both from a staff and a student point of view, right? Because the student's going to log into their portal with their university email account. That university email account is probably an Office 365 Outlook account. They're going to be working in documents in Word and sharing those types of things. And all of that telemetry is available in the business application model. And you don't really think about, like, well, why does accessing a Word or a PowerPoint or my people that I communicate with in my organization matter? That data actually gives us a lot of information about people and how engaged they are with groups and other students and things like that. In addition, we can listen to what's happening across student information systems, learning management systems, finance, HR, payroll systems, student portals, surveys, how they're responding on social media, whether they open their email or delete their email or close it or click on calls to action, if they pick up the phone when you call them, if they respond to a text when you text message them. All of this data that's happening is coming into this giant data model that we're then listening to and using AI algorithms and doing, like I said, constructing these mindset profiles, but also nudging people on what to do next. We're nudging the staff members on who that they need to respond to because of changes that are happening in behaviors, so people they need to focus on based off of changes in behaviors. But from a student standpoint, we're also nudging them to do what's next, right? What's the next milestone that a student needs to do? Is it register for classes? Is it fill out their financial aid paperwork? Is it to engage more in the classroom? Is it to sign up for clubs and be engaged? So this engagement platform will take all of that data and help everyone in the community make better decisions and be more informed.
Wow. Yeah, it's a nice circle that takes all these components that are there already and utilizes that to do meaningful things. Someone in the podcast earlier on was talking about that a lot of these systems are cups that hold the water, but no one is actually doing something with that water. And here's what you start to do now. You start to use it as the fuel.
Right. Well, it's been a long time. It's especially in technology. Technology, you know, even going back to, you know, Newton, right, believing that everything is a machine. And if you understand the smallest parts of a machine, you can understand the universe and how people work and tick. And that's really not true, right? Really, we've learned that everything is a system. And everything is interconnected. And they're not silos. And even applications, right? You're right. The cups of water, this data that's sitting in these siloed applications. What if we could look into the water across all the different systems and understand the temperature changes and right the balancing act and the reinforcement acts that happen in those systems and be able to see those trends and act on them? So systems thinking is a relatively new way of understanding the university, you know, as an organism, as a system of community of people that are all impacted when one department feels one way and somebody invests in another thing. It all affects everyone. And so these tools and bringing all this data together is helping to see the university as a system and respond accordingly instead of seeing them as a cog in a machine.
Exactly. Yeah, that's an interesting way how we can start to look at the industry and technology and how it can help to augment people in the right way. So talking about the moment this all started, the aha moment, and where you are today, you just released one of the new products 2 months ago. What did you do to ensure that this is going to give remarkable value? Were there any specific things that you did or didn't do?
Well, the aha moment has been kind of iterative.
Yeah.
The first time we built the Turing test is sort of like the, you know, if you could convince the person on the other end that they're talking to a human when they're really talking to a machine, you sort of pass the Turing test. It's a very high level way to put it. But when I was at the University of Advancing Technology, I was responsible for business intelligence. And we went through this exercise where we wanted to align everyone who worked at the university with the business objective and with the appropriate, you know, executive at the university, right? So everybody knew what their job was and they knew what their performance was supposed to be and they got feedback on it. Yeah. Well, what we did was we created this account. His name was Clark Devereaux. And Clark Devereaux was basically mining all the data that was happening in the system. And it would send an email out at the end of the day. You know, today, you know, you made 25 phone calls and, you know, the top five programs that students are interested in these. And then the dean would get one that says, you know, your top five programs of students are interested in these. And so we started sending this data out from this person, this artificial person called Clark Devereaux. And eventually people started to come in and say, hey, who's, can I speak to Clark, please? I need to ask him about where he's getting his data. Or, you know, and it was like, yes, I finally did it. Like, I am pulling data out of systems automatically and turning them into a human language that people can understand and they want to learn more about. So that was a few years ago. And then as we started to pull data together and have different data systems come together and aggregate that and share them in a way as if it were a single point of data, right? And so as we started to learn how that was the next thing. I was like, okay, well, I don't have to have everything so separate. I can take big data from Burning Glass, transform it into higher education data, and embed it in a student portal, and nobody knows that it's something different. No. You know, no one will know that it's a different data set that's not part of like what they're working on, because it's meaningful to them and it's presented in a way to them that's meaningful. And so it was just sort of a series of that. And then when we moved to Azure, when Microsoft made all of the cognitive services available, and I, as a product manager, could go in and start to prototype, you know, how do I use natural language, like speaking and typing, as a user interface? Like, is it really there? I mean, Alexa's super cool, and I'm a huge fan of Amazon Prime. Hello, Google is really cool. Siri, not so much. But, you know, what if I could just start talking to my computer and it would understand what I'm saying and then give me information back? When all those pieces came together with all those experiences of what we did before, that's when I was like, okay, now's the time. We can go to market with a product that actually works, that actually gets smarter, and we can do it with tools that are available today so we can get to market in a reasonable time.
Yeah, that's a very important point, because you start to look at the ecosystem in a different way right now. It's not that you have to do it all by yourself. It's just picking the right components and orchestrating them in a way that it actually starts to make sense. Out of all the things that you've done so far, what were the hard choices that you made in that journey? Or what did you say no to, for example?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the hard choices were, especially when building Occupation Insight, right? There's so much data there. And there's so many things that you can do it. It's sort of picking out where do you start from, okay? Yeah. So what way can we start with something simply, but show the potential of a big idea and release that very quickly. It only took us from January to May to deploy our very first version of Occupation Insight. We talked about it for about 12 months, sort of testing the market. You know, I built some prototypes of some things using Power BI, and we'd gone out there and we'd played around with the idea until we got enough interest. But once we made the decision, it was only 5 months from the time that we said, yes, we're going to build this product and go to market, and we actually went to market. So in order to do that, you have to like take all of my big ideas, which are huge, right, and like span multiple years and distill them into something that's crystal clear that we can go to market with right away. And it didn't have everything I wanted in the first one, right, but just simply. And that's also what we're doing with Renee. As we're working with Microsoft right now to build out that central intelligence, is the first thing that we need to do is basically define what the language is of the higher ed model, right? What is it, course, enrollment, things like that. And once we start from there, then we can start iteratively building on the different data sets that it connects to and things like that. So I think the hard choice is to pick something that's very small and actionable that you can deliver on very quickly, and then iterate and let the ideas get bigger and bigger and gain traction over time.
Yep. That's common. And that's, of course, also very possible these days with the capabilities that cloud is providing us. If you look at things in hindsight, were there any things that you would do different next time? How many times have you failed? And what have those failures learned?
I wish I would have done a better job of helping the organization understand how important it is to have these ideas ready to be resourced and go to market. Because when you start with a small R&D team, like we start in architecture, for example, and we get with the architecture, we build a prototype, and from the prototype, we have like a proof of concept to a prototype that we start demoing, and then everyone gets excited about it and we're ready to go sell it. But, you know, based off of the price points and things like that, I would have been much more ready to go to market with a lower price point product than I was initially, because a lot of the stuff that we sell, Engage, it's huge, right? Student information systems are big, monolithic projects that span multiple years that are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to implement. And a lot of these solutions that were coming out that are SaaS solutions are just a couple hundred bucks a month.
Sure.
Right. So how do you get a sales organization who's used to selling hundreds of thousands of dollars of things to selling just things that are a couple hundred bucks? And so being better prepared for the organization to get their mind wrapped around these SaaS based low cost products have huge impact on the market. And they're just not the way that you used to do things in the past.
Sounds so familiar. Yeah, exactly. Were there any, have you seen any surprising byproducts out of the things that you've been doing?
Well, there's definitely been interest to use like Occupation Insight in a different way. Like I said, one of the, as we showed it, they're like, yeah, students are great. I want to use this data for my own purposes, right? Mm-hmm. So seeing how administrators are excited about using the data to actually help them shape their future programs and engage more with the community and to understand the employers that, you know, they may not have known about or the job postings they may not have known about. That's been a very interesting thing that we've had to kind of like, you know, make sure that we didn't shift gears too quickly, right? We don't want to just respond to every single person that says that they want to do something because we have a very intentional purpose for our vision. And so understanding how to take that input in and have a plan for that in the future, but don't let it derail us from our existing plans, which are really important to execute on.
Yeah. Well, at the end, it is a supply chain. You know, it's the market that's changing, the education market that needs to respond to that with building new skills and new programs, and then the students picking up on those programs. So everything needs to be aligned. I understand that question really well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, out of what you've seen so far and the first reactions in the marketplace, what have you been most proud of?
There's a lot, you know, we've got a lot of projects, a lot of things have been going on. What I've been most proud of is I manage a product that is in version and currently in version number 20, right? This is our 20th year of development in the student information system. And with that comes 20 years of technology decisions, 20 years of baggage, 20 years of customers. And we needed to make a hard decision on how this product was going to survive for the next 20 years. And the ability for us to keep our data model and to keep the core values of what our product was in the market, but then to go through this transformational architectural change in just a 3-year period to completely transform our product within 3 years so that it's cloud ready, so I can do things like Occupation Insight, so I can build things like Renee, so we can have Engage as an opportunity to go to the market with something new that asks people to think differently about the way that they buy technology for higher ed and how they use it. To me, that's been the most rewarding, the most exciting, because, you know, in 2013, everyone was on a path to replace our software with someone else's. And we've been able to completely turn that around. And that's been one of the most major accomplishments of my career.
I can completely agree with that. And I've seen a shift happening in the industry and the lack of innovation that was going on. And it seems to turn well on its feet right now with everything that's coming. So that's good. That's good news for everybody at the end.
Yeah.
So talking about that aspect of thinking differently, out of everything you know right now, what advice would you give, first of all, a decision maker in education, how should they think differently about what can be?
Yeah, I think there's three things. The first is be open to collaboration. Be open to meeting people and to talking about the challenges that you have at your institution and not sort of be ashamed of them or whatever, because education desperately needs to be transformed into something new. So let's all get together and talk about it. Number two is for an executive that's in education that's over a large institution, or let's say anything over 2,000, ask yourself, how would a startup do this, right? Yeah. We see so many new innovative things coming out with technology, so many apps, so many open source products. Instead of like going out there and following the lead, like following the trends, like I'm going to do what everybody else does, What about thinking, how would a startup, how would someone with no money solve this problem? How would, you know, our students, if they were building it something, how would they approach it with the resources that they have? And just sort of take a lens of, I'm not going to follow everybody that does the same thing. I'm going to take a look at how would a young, innovative mind approach this problem. And the third thing is to be entrepreneurial, is to not just be in the same traditional mindset of, we are, you know, we're from a land grant, we've got this education, we've got these teachers that have been here for a long time, we've got these programs that have been proven to be successful for a long time. What do we have at our institution that makes us unique, that could really transform our institution and make our students more excited, build new revenue opportunities for our institution, make more of a statement about our brand and our culture? And so be entrepreneurial. So the three things are: be open to collaboration, ask yourself how a startup would do this, and to be more entrepreneurial.
I couldn't agree more of that. This is nicely laid out. These are really the questions you should ask if you are in the education space right now. And I think not even in the education space, many people should ask these questions like this, many organizations. So what is next for you? What is your biggest aspiration from here?
Well, it's definitely to get Engage off the ground and get Renee out there learning. Because as soon as we can get Renee out there learning, the faster and the better she's going to be able to help students be more curious and have a much better experience in higher ed than we've been able to offer students in the past. And so for me, that's really important. Occupation Insight is really exciting. There's another feature that we are bringing to market here this year on the student information side that I didn't get to talk to you about, called Degree Pathways. But Degree Pathways, I'm sure you're familiar with Guided Pathways and Degree Pathways, but this is going to allow students to not just have a degree progress audit with a list of requirements that they have to graduate, but actually build a plan for success that's dynamic, that changes over time, that lets them work with faculty and advisors, and cool. Connects directly with Renee and directly with Occupation Insight to see how their journey as a student is going to help shape them long after they graduate at the institution. So this is another next thing that we're working on, that we're bringing to market right now, that we're in development in. And that's really exciting.
That's indeed very exciting. I'm very eager to see how the rest of the landscape, your peers, are working on similar things. Because I think you are on the edge here. Pretty good.
I know. I think there's like Wanda's out there at Unit 4. Oracle's building a bot right now. Ellucian is really trying to lead the way with their current degree pathways. All of us that are in the market right now are rushing to bring data analytics, prescriptive analytics to the market. And I think we're at an advantage because we're so closely partnered with Microsoft. Yeah. And one of the things that at campus management, I only have to solve problems for higher education, right? I don't have to solve the technology problems behind it. And I think a lot of my other competitors out there are actually building the tech behind the tech. And that's going to give us an advantage to go to market first and have something that's more scalable.
I agree. So where can people go and find out more about, first of all, the products, but also about you? Where can they connect?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. I keep my LinkedIn profile up. My name is Raymond Todd Blackwood. I've been in higher ed for a long time, so my LinkedIn handle is TOZ13, which was my old hacker handle back in the early days when I first started. But Raymond Todd Blackwood, you'll be able to find me out on the internet there. www.campusmanagement.com. We'll give you access to Occupation Insight and information about Engage and all the products that we have available out in the market, and all of our press releases and webinars that have been out there. And so those are the two top places you can go to find out information about me and campus management.
Pretty cool. Well, thanks, Ray, for this inspiring explanation about your products. You got true passion for it, and that's good to see. So thanks for that.
Okay, thank you so much for inviting me on your little podcast, and I am so excited to be part of this community that you're building and look forward to what we can all bring to the market over the next few years.
Thanks for those nice words, Ray. And I agree with you. It's pretty interesting to see the community developing and what it could actually mean to the future of all of us. So thanks. And for everybody else, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Ray Blackwood, Vice President of Product Management at Campus Management Corp. The goal of this podcast is to share compelling ideas and showcases to inspire what can be when technology and people blend in the right way. It's my strong belief that too much focus is put on automating people out of a process, in other words, cutting costs, rather than scenarios where the unique strengths of people are augmented with technology to change the established rules and to deliver a value that was unimaginable before. So, with this podcast, I want to make a contribution to change this, to create a broader awareness of what can be, to accelerate the adoption by bringing together you, a tribe of like-minded people and organizations, and lastly, to accelerate the initiatives and solutions that could be created because one idea inspires the other. So if you know about stories that are worth sharing, please send me a message. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. If you want to have more information, read my blogs, or obtain information on working with me, just visit me on my website, valueinspiration.com. Thank you for tuning in, and you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast or provide me with your feedback. I'll see you shortly in a new episode.